Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. Today's a special day. Not only is it May Day, the 1st of May 2012, it's our 11-month anniversary here on the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030, KVOI, the voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and with our simulcast partner in Douglas, KAPR, AM 930, giving us great reach all from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. And we live stream the show at buckmastershow.com. That's my website. And the station website also is live streaming us, and that's kvoi.com. You can hear our program if you miss it live or want to hear another, hear it again or a portion of it again, 24/7, anytime, anywhere in the world listening, again at buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. Graciously carry the Buckmaster Show. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. We're going to, the first half hour of today's program, talking about economics. We will lead off the show with Tucson businessman Alex Rodriguez, who is just back from a meeting at the White House with a small group of other Arizona business leaders. Mr. Rodriguez was one of actually only two Southern Arizona representatives of a group of 15. We'll talk with him in a moment. 20 minutes past the hour, it is our regular Tuesday Money Maker Report with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. 30 minutes past noon, an update on the Mission Gardens Project. And we'll close out the show talking politics, our monthly blogger beat. We will talk with Blog for Arizona author David Safir. And we encourage you to be part of the conversation, part of this program. It's interactive. You can always join us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. Also, if you have a question, you can email it at buckmastershow.com or submit a question using our Facebook page, and that is under Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. Now, on with Alex Rodriguez. As I mentioned, 15 business leaders from Arizona representing the state at a half-day meeting with the White House business consul last week. Alex is now back in Tucson, and he joins me in studio. Alex, good to see you.
Mr. Bill Buckmaster, it's fantastic to be with you. And may I say, congratulations on 40 amazing years with your lovely wife, Anne.
It is amazing, isn't it? 40 years. We've actually known each other 45, but 40 Cinco de Mayo will be our 40-year wedding anniversary.
That's a fantastic feat.
Yep. And it was on a Saturday then, back in 1972.
Is that right?
Before we continue, I want to tell people a little bit about Alex Rodriguez. He has an amazing resume. The guy is 41 years old, and he has done so many things. He's the former president of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. Alex is a one-time congressional candidate. He was a business executive at Raytheon Missile Systems. He is a retired Army captain. He has a master's degree from Harvard in business. And now he is the founder of the Tucson-based Client Attraction Strategy Advisors. What does that group do, basically?
What we do is help local area companies improve their profitability through more efficiency and effectiveness, strategy and management consulting focused on leadership development, Bill.
How did this meeting come about at the White House?
You know, the White House has been holding meetings like this with all the other 49 states in the union. And recently, I was invited by the White House Business Council after they had contacted quite a few business leaders, primarily in the Phoenix area, as you mentioned.
What were some of the main issues that came up?
Well, Bill, it was a very wide-ranging discussion that lasted for well over a half-day discussion at the White House. And so it included topics like healthcare, jobs, the economy in Arizona specifically, energy efficiency, the trade issue with Mexico, border security related issues. So on a whole host of issues, we were able to raise our concerns and our input as business leaders on behalf of the state of Arizona.
And what were those concerns that you raised?
Well, let me start with one important to us here in Southern Arizona. As you may have heard last night, the Mariposa Port of Entry in Nogales, Arizona, opened additional lanes with the reconstruction happening there. And what we need today is a much more efficient flow of people, goods, and services, as I like to call it. Bill, the fact is that Mexico represents the top trading partner to the state of Arizona, has a major economic impact, not only here in southern Arizona, but throughout the state. And so one of the things I was able to mention with the senior policy advisors to the president and others from different cabinet agencies involved in the hearings was this issue of wait times.
It can go up to 4 hours waiting, can't it?
It longer? Can. It just depends on what time of year you're crossing and whether it's holidays or the peak season for the produce industry. The wait times can get very, very challenging.
So can we get more agents to move things along?
That was precisely the message that I conveyed to the White House. We need at least a minimum of 200 new agents here, customs agents, not Border Patrol agents, but customs agents that help enhance the legitimate flow of goods and services between the two countries.
So while the Border Patrol has certainly been beefing up, perhaps customs at the border has not kept up.
That's correct. I'll cite a quick example. Down on the Morley Port of Entry, there's a pedestrian crossing there in Nogales. And unfortunately, at various times, the pedestrian crossing gets so backed up, it just discourages people from coming across. And that means local spend in the local economy. What agents are having to do is shuffle between the traffic lanes and the pedestrian site. So ultimately, the impact there is less people crossing and less people spending in our state.
We're with Alex Rodriguez. He was back at the White House. And one thing I failed to mention also on your resume, you were at the White House. I believe that you worked in the offices. How could I forget this? Pretty important thing. You were at the National Security Council, where you were international policy advisor.
Yes, the correction there is I was international policy advisor for the Department of Defense.
Okay.
And spent time going across the Potomac to the White House. So just a correction there.
So you talked about the international port of entry, education, K through 12. I'm sure that came up.
Before you
talk about education, it's really a glaring example of how much Phoenix, when you get outside of the state of Arizona, how heavily weighted this meeting was. Of the 15 representatives, only two were from southern Arizona.
That's correct. And what I mentioned in the White House was that I was one of the two odd ducks in the room because there was such a high presence from the Phoenix area. But by the same token, Bill, what I discovered was a real embrace by Phoenix area leaders to have our voice here in southern Arizona heard as well. It was complimentary. It was in addition to the issues specific to the Phoenix and Maricopa area. But let's face it, you know, the state, we are facing a number of challenges as a state. And so that's very important anytime we're in Washington, D.C., to convey a message as a state and not just different pockets.
You know, we're going to talk a little bit about education and workforce development. That came up too, didn't it?
It did. It did. In fact, what is the appropriate role of education by the federal government? As you look at the global economy and the drastic changes happening because of the Great Recession, the number of changes happening with technology and education overall, there's got to be a balance between what we can expect from the federal government and what we should be providing for locally. The entire discussion was couched from the business perspective around the issue of long-term competitiveness. What do we expect our graduates from local school districts to be able to tackle once they graduate? What is that economy in 5, 10, 15 years, what does it look like? And what do we need to do in order to provide for a more knowledge-based economy for our citizens and our graduates?
Yeah, unless we can fill some of these shortages, some of the businesses that want to expand are going to have difficult times here in Tucson. Yes, Phoenix.
All over the state, you're correct. But one of the things that's emerging is Arizona as a hotbed for entrepreneurial activity and really based on high technology. There are several sectors from biotech to even agricultural technology and everything in between that's emerging as a vibrant environment for entrepreneurship. In fact, our Tucson region economy is based on small businesses and medium-sized businesses. And one of the things that occurred recently was the release of the Entrepreneurial Economy Task Force blueprint. It was conducted by TRIO and a number of individuals, the Aller College, the McGuire Center there for Entrepreneurship. And part of that was a real need for us to come together as a region to help support entrepreneurship.
You had some resources that you wanted to give out.
I do. One along that the entrepreneurship is www.startupamericapartnership.org. Again, www.startupamericapartnership.org. It's the federal government's role in providing for entrepreneurship.
And folks that would like more information about your particular business?
Sure. They can reach me at clientattractionstrategyadvisors.com.
Or they can just Google Alex Rodriguez. They might get a different Rodriguez, but they'll get you eventually. A-Rod, they may get a different Alex Rodriguez.
No, they might see a lot of baseballs on websites.
Yeah. Stick around, Alex. I'd like you to be here as we talk money on our Tuesday Money Maker Report with Shelley Fishman. That's coming up as we continue with this discussion on the economy on the Buckmaster Show, Tuesday edition.
One of Broadway's biggest hits is on tour and coming soon. Disney and Cameron Mackintosh's Mary Poppins, live on stage. Variety raves, Mary Poppins is the rare touring production that over-delivers at every level. And now is your chance to experience it.
Disney's Mary Poppins, May 16th through the 20th at the Tucson Music Hall. Tickets start at $29. Purchase tickets at BroadwayInTucson.com or call 1-800-745-3000.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And the man himself is here, Shelley Fishman. And we've asked Alex Rodriguez to stick around during this segment too, Shelley, since we were talking about the global economy and Alex was talking about China and what we need to do to be competitive. But before we go on to that, you've got a smile on your face.
Oh, big smile today.
You know I go by the Buckmaster smile. Shelley Fishman, Dow Jones Industrial Index. Is there a correlation between Shelley's smile and the market? And actually, yes. Seven consecutive months, we have had gains now in the Dow.
The gains in the market have been tremendous. They've been, I think, outsized, maybe a little bit faster than might be prudent, but markets will do what markets will do. And when they're up day after day after day, we're up on the Dow about 9% for the year. We're up about 17 or 18% on the high-tech-filled NASDAQ. You know, there's just no arguing with the fact that the investment community, to the extent that it is taking money back off the sidelines, is very bullish on America.
Shelley, you heard Alex Rodriguez's interview. He's talking about his meeting at the White House last week, and he was talking about the importance of this emerging global economy and how the United States competing against state-run businesses like China, it's huge.
Nothing is more important in terms of the overall economic strength of this country and our competitiveness in the world, again, against and, you know, you compete against, but you're also kind of working with your customers so that you have this kind of friendly enemy kind of relationship. But right now, the American economy is growing much more quickly than the closest competitors we have for the things we do very well in manufacturing, and that would be Europe. Europe right now is in a stagnation period, maybe even a little bit of a mild recession. So the U.S. economic recovery is really outpaced our competitors. Mm-hmm. Now, that's great in the short run and for an investment community. And, you know, when you're an investor, what you're looking at is not only where you can place your money most profitably, but you're looking at what the alternatives are. And the alternatives, in some cases, are just do nothing with it, let it sit there in cash, or put it in domestic equities or domestic bonds and fixed income, or overseas investments. Keep in mind that there is a tremendous appetite in the emerging nations for the stuff that we produce. Mm-hmm. Now, that means that our manufacturers are really outproducing what they were producing at the beginning of this recession. And that's very important to note. Now, Alex, you were talking about how the NASDAQ has just outperformed. One of the problems we have, of course, with our high-tech sector is providing the skilled employees the high-tech sector needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you mentioned that, what was it, 19%? I mean, that's
up this year.
Yeah.
But if they can't get employees, either from U.S. sources or from immigrants, they can't grow.
Sure. To cite one of the examples that was raised at the White House is a company here in our own state, up in the Phoenix area. Company is a high-tech software provider, solution provider, and they do contracting in the security sector with the government and private companies. They are having the darndest time in filling software engineer roles today.
Wow.
Literally, I spoke with the HR vice president for the company, and she's had open specs for about 30 software engineer, well-paid positions, and just can't find them.
Yeah, I think it was, it might have been on Meet the Press. It was one of the Sunday morning talk shows yesterday where the current chairman of Microsoft was on. And he was just talking about the fact that they just can't fill the jobs that they have. And that is quite consistent with what other companies, of course, Microsoft's up in Washington, but in Silicon Valley, the experiences that they're having. And what we know is that our competitors ultimately are state-supported and the strategies overseas with China and with other countries, these are state-supported industries, and the state is supporting the education of their populace to fill those jobs.
So, Shelley, on an aggregate, the last number I saw was that there's about 3 million open job recs.
I think that's the last number
the
I saw.
Country.
Yes, absolutely.
And isn't that an interesting dichotomy that, you know, the economy obviously is still sluggish and fighting its way back to full recovery, and yet there's 3 million job applications out there that cannot be filled here in our own country.
Because we don't have the skill levels.
Yes.
And so if you're competing with countries that are pouring money into their education systems and into strategically focusing where what they need and what they need their companies to be manufacturing, how do you do that? I mean, you got to take the politics out of it, first of all.
Sure,
doesn't
absolutely.
Matter whether
That's
this is Democrat or Republican, conservative, liberal. What we need for this economy to grow is to be doing better than what our competitors
yeah,
are doing.
I could not agree more with that assertion that you remove the politics of this, and the statecraft of the future has got to be a stronger, more resilient focus on manufacturing policy,
clearly,
on economic policy that helps enhance our workers in this country.
Alice Rodriguez is with us. He's founder of Tucson-based Client Attraction Strategy Advisors, also Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planners. And Shelley, Alex was mentioning we all know about offshore, but he was talking about something called inshoring.
Yes, nearshoring.
Nearshoring. That's really interesting because what's happening, of course, is as the middle classes in these formerly low-cost countries where we moved factories, as those middle classes are becoming more and more affluent, it's costing us more and more to manufacture there.
So they're coming back.
They're coming back. Fascinating, isn't it? In Mexico, where the economy was severely hampered by U.S. companies moving from Mexico to China, are now seeing a resurgence and coming back. And in fact, literally, we're talking about this as it relates to Arizona. Right in Nogales, across the border, there's a growing high-tech cluster of companies that are nearshore examples.
Right. And so getting money back off the sidelines is critical to our growth. Right now, there's still probably $1.5 trillion.
Wow.
U.S. funds that's sitting there in essentially money market accounts.
Just a huge number, yes.
So getting that money back. So as investors, we want to give investors the opportunity to get in on the ground floor of opportunities and to get in into the upward moving trends. Mm-hmm. The last thing you want to be doing is kind of following the trend curve. You want to be at the beginning of the trend curve.
Yeah, you don't want to be there in the last
when it's already peaked.
So but those are good indicators.
Yeah.
You mentioned the NASDAQ, and then of course our contrast with what's happening in Europe right now. The economy appears to be looking much in a better position.
Right.
Shelley's optimistic.
Right. And keep in mind that the minute you start employing people, in other words, we're manufacturing more today, where our GDP is higher today than it was at the beginning of the recession, and we're doing it with about 13 million fewer workers. As we start to employ those people, that increases demand in the sector of our economy that is the most robust, which of course is consumer-driven. That's 70% of the economy.
We're going to have to wrap it up, but we appreciate Alex Rodriguez sticking around
for
our
Tuesday Moneymaker Report.
Thank good you. Input here, especially about, I didn't realize about some of the offshores coming back.
Yeah,
okay, Shelley, where can people get a hold of you?
795-7950, Bill.
And as we like to say, Shelley Fishman, he's a good guy, certified financial planner. If you didn't get the phone number, didn't get the email, go to buckmastershow.com. The link is there.
Perfect.
Shelley, have a great week.
You
Alex,
too,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities and insurance products offered through LPL Financial and its affiliates. Member FINRA. Pyramid Federal Credit Union is not a registered broker-dealer, nor is it affiliated with...
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Hundreds of activists across the U.S. have been joining in worldwide May Day demonstrations today. Police in riot gear line the front of a Bank of America in New York, facing several dozen Occupy activists marching behind barricades. Authorities say that five men who were allegedly plotting to blow up a bridge near Cleveland were working with a man who turned out to be an FBI informant. The five allegedly purchased phony explosives from the man, and now they've been busted. According to activists in Syria, 10 people are dead after government troops today fired mortar shells into a farming village. On Wall Street, heading into the final half hour of trading, the Dow up 89 points at 13,303, the NASDAQ ahead 16, the S&P 11 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for bio development. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Well, Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. A group of Tucson residents committed to recreating and authentically presenting the historic structures and landscapes to the regional community and visitors in an area known as Tucson's birthplace. They're moving forward with something called the Tucson Origins Project, actually Mission Garden Project. And with us is Roger Pfeiffer. Dr. Pfeiffer, former TUSD superintendent. He's the co-chair of Friends of Tucson's Birthplace. And Katja Peterson is the other chair. So there we have the two chairs with us, the co-chairs of Friends of Tucson's Birthplace. Katja and Roger, good to see both of you.
Very good to see you. Thank you.
So are you excited about where this project is right now, Roger Pfeiffer?
We are very excited. We incorporated as a nonprofit late 2009, and we have this five-year agreement with the city and the county and us for developing and operating the garden. And so we gave ourselves a five-year window, and we're now looking at perhaps completing that agreement within 3 years because of the progress.
Katja, give us a little background about how this came about.
Well, this is
the Mission Garden Project and the original agreement with the city.
The Mission Garden Project has been in people's hearts and minds and envisioned for many, many years now. The archaeological investigations were done, and you know, there was right next to there used to be an old dump. And people always kind of said, somebody, Tom Price, who used to be a city person, used to say, there's something very special under here.
Under the dump, right?
Under the dump was discovered, we have the knowledge now that there is more than 4,000 years of continuous cultivation.
And Roger Pfeiffer, that would put Tucson probably as the oldest continuously occupied, or certainly when it comes to agriculture, being cultivated in one area, probably in North America.
You're absolutely correct. And the other specialty of the other specialness of this area, this 4 acres, is that it was never part of the landfill or the dump. It was
next
agriculture.
To it. Uh-huh.
So it is surrounded by what Katja described, but it is untouched agricultural land.
And for our
little
listeners,
correction there. Let's don't worry that our trees will be
there. It's a 4 acre garden is what we're talking about. And Where can people take a look at this who have not been out there, Katja? Give us some kind of a where do you go?
Well, let's see. At this point, you would go. I'm going to make it easy.
Make it as easy as possible this time.
Normally, we would say go down Congress, but right now with Congress blocked, we're going to say go down 22nd Street and turn right on Mission Road. Go to Mission Road and the corner of Mission Lane, and actually, you can really see the wall from the road, and any of us will be delighted to take you on a tour.
4 acres, Roger Pfeiffer, and tell me about what has been planted there. And is this considered now you've closed out your first phase of the project?
We finished our first phase, which was to plant 119 Keno Heritage orchard trees. And we finished that about a month ago. They're all in the ground. They're all being irrigated through a timer operated by a solar panel. So we're very pleased with that. We're now constructing some of the ramadas in that area out of old mesquite logs and saguaro ribs and ocotillo. The board just about a week and a half ago got together and approved phase two. And that's going to be about another third of the garden, which will be planted in some native trees, both inside the wall and outside the wall, and a native desert plant area. Highlighting some of the plants that are Sonoran Desert natives, and then probably the first two of what we call the timeline gardens, which were the plants that were used by the prehistoric peoples, both the pre-agriculturists, the hunters and gatherers, and the Hohokam, and the Tohono O'odham.
The reconstruction of the San Agustin mission, is that part of the plan, Roger Pfeiffer?
Yes. The Mission Garden is part of Tucson Origins Heritage Park.
It's under the umbrella of the Tucson Origins Heritage Park.
Which was part of Proposition 400, which became Rio Nuevo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the wall around the garden was constructed using Rio Nuevo funds. The archaeology that Katya mentioned was done using Rio Nuevo funds. The remediation of the landfill issues were done using Rio Nuevo funds. So when the economy went bad and we saw that there wasn't going to be any real progress using Rio Nuevo funds there, that's when we made the agreement and we took over.
Friends of Tucson's Birthplace really stepped in to get this thing going.
If you hadn't
stepped in, it probably
Nothing would have happened.
It probably would have been a graffiti magnet.
Would have been sitting there.
So I'm trying to get a vision here of, you say phase one is completed, you're into phase two. This is a 5-year plan. What ultimately will that area look like?
The garden will be
completed. Go ahead, Katya.
Well, I was just going to say, we give you just a kind of visual of figs and pomegranates?
Love to visualize that.
Pears, there are pears, there are quinces. You know, there are what we're calling Seville oranges, which are known as Seville oranges.
There are apricots,
and there are some limes as well. You know, the vision is when you think about Padre Kino, who came really from Italy, but and brought all those wonderful favorite Mediterranean trees. It really changed the Sonoran Desert forever. He brought those incredible specimens, and for us to have the access to the pedigreed trees, because really these are the descendants of the trees that were brought not only by Padre Kino, but other travelers as well during the 17th and 18th century. So we'll have an orchard, and you know, the thought was plant what really takes longest to flourish and grow. Then we'll follow that with being able to put mesquites and palo verdes and ironwood, many other native, probably not as many cottonwoods because they take an awful lot of water, but you know, that so that we'll have the sense of what the garden would have been like, because a garden isn't really planted all at once.
So the total acreage, you say there's 4 acres right now, but what the park itself is?
Well, the park itself is another probably 8 acres.
Okay, so there's area that still to be developed.
Absolutely. Well, there's area within the garden to be developed, and I mentioned what phase two is going to be. There are phase threes and four, which are left to be done, which will be a Mission grape vineyard, and then a Spanish cropland, which was very, very important to the changing of history here because the Spanish brought over winter wheat, which gave the Tejana Atam food during the winter, which they hadn't had before. So that's the garden. But the garden is only one part of Tucson Origins Heritage Park. So we've got the convento and the mission complex to reconstruct. We've got a cultural plaza. We've got Chuksan Plaza. So there's a lot of stuff.
So you envision, Roger Pfeiffer, this really, and Katya, this really being a centerpiece for the West Side. I mean, when this is finally—
Centerpiece, not just for the West Side. Exactly. This is for Tucson. This is for the Southwest. This is for Pima County. This is for Arizona. This is something that's going to make all of us so proud. You know, I think when we think of the cultural richness that we have right here in Tucson, when you think of the agricultural richness that we have, you know, people come and say, oh, it's a desert. You know, there's nothing there. On the contrary, we had, and I think we'll see with these different native desert plant gardens, we will see not only the diversity, but we'll see in some of the trees the incredible medical finds that have been now documented. This will be a place for children. This will be a place for visitors all kinds.
And this is being done now. The work we're doing now is during the Arizona Centennial Year.
Yes.
I mean, we're celebrating 100 years of statehood. We're celebrating 4,000 years of continual education, agriculture. And Katja is absolutely right. This is not just the West Side. This is the birthplace of Tucson, not just Tucson's West Side. So any city that doesn't celebrate its birthplace is missing a big bet.
This is a unique...
Go ahead, Katja.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
This is such a unique opportunity, and I think it's just... We're very excited to be able to share.
For folks who would like to get more information about Friends of Tucson's Birthplace...
Tucson'sBirthplace.org.
Right.
And with an S on Tucson's.
No apostrophe.
But okay. No apostrophe.
Tucson'sBirthplace.org.
But if you just put in Mission Garden, it'll come right out.
Or send us a letter to Box 1228, Tucson, Arizona. 85702.
We love volunteers. We're going to get in every single session.
Peterson and Roger Pfeiffer, the chairs of Friends of Tucson's Birthplace. Thank you very much. Good luck to you.
Thanks for having us, Bill.
All right. We're going to talk politics. That's next.
One of Broadway's biggest hits is on tour and coming soon. Disney and Cameron McIntosh's Mary Poppins, live on stage. Variety raves, Mary Poppins is the rare touring production that over-delivers at every level. And now is your chance to experience it.
Disney's Mary Poppins, May 16th through the 20th at the Tucson Music Hall. Tickets start at $29. Purchase tickets at BroadwayInTucson.com or call 1-800-745-3000.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Thank you.
9:49 now on The Buckmaster Show, our 11-month anniversary edition of The Buckmaster Show here on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice, and our simulcast partner down in Douglas, KAPR AM 930. Together with the two stations, we've got, as they say in the radio business, David Safir, good reach. How you doing, David?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me back.
Thank you, David. David is with us, and David is the author of, on our Blogger Beat this month, he's the author of Blog for Arizona. David, how is Blog for Arizona doing? I try to look at it every day. I mean, you post a couple times a day, don't you?
There are two or three or four people, depending on how you count it, maybe even five or six, who are now posting on it. It's becoming a bit of a community. And I try to post daily or twice or three or four times daily. And I've got one fairly long piece in the hopper right now about the connection between ALEC and the Goldwater Institute and Jeb Bush's education group. You know, it's a long stretch with one connector, and that's going to take me a while to put together. But it's very pleasing for me to be able to get my stuff out where people can see it.
You're a former educator,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and the blog has there's an emphasis on education and what's going on.
With my stuff, yeah.
Yeah, with your stuff.
There are a couple of lawyers and there are people in other areas, but education, I focus on it greatly. Right now, Arizona is the stalking horse for conservative ideas, the conservative concept of educational reform in the country. Things are tried out here by the Goldwater Institute. The Goldwater Institute is going to have someone speaking twice at the ALEC conference coming up in May. These are very, very tight, putting together model legislation, and a lot of the model legislation and the ideas come right from here. And needless to say, that concerns me, and I just want to keep it up front. I want people to know what's happening, because a lot of what happens goes under the radar.
David, are you saying that the Goldwater Institute is helping to drive and set the agenda up at the Capitol?
Setting the agenda nationwide. There is something called education savings accounts, which is the new euphemism for vouchers, to avoid some of the governmental complications, constitutional complications. They managed to move some money from one part of the government ledger to another and say it's a savings account for parents that they can spend on education. Well, this has been bandied about elsewhere, but the most advanced, and I say that with a great deal of fear, version is now law here in Arizona. It's called empowerment accounts, and it is a frightening mix of all kinds of ideas around about vouchers on steroids. It's really something.
David Safir is with us. He is the author of Blog for Arizona. David, education in Arizona, is it faring any better under the legislative plan, the budget agreement that apparently is going to be going to the governor as they look to wrap up the session this week?
If you're talking about money, I just started looking at this. It seems like it's very important to spend a lot of time about getting Bible classes in the schools and making sure that women don't have contraception given by their insurance companies. But somehow the budget happens in 24 hours under the cover of night, and it'll take weeks to figure out what's going on. But I looked at some stuff, and basically a little bit of money here, a little bit of money there, K through 3, some emphasis on more reading, teaching, things of that nature. But honestly, the legislature isn't going to fund this the way they should. Our best hope is an initiative that was put together to renew the 1 cent sales tax, but this time, if the initiative is written as carefully as I believe it is, because they had lawyers going over it, I talked to one of the main people in it, Ann Eve Peterson, the legislature has got to keep the budget funding at the 2011-2012 level, and the sales tax money goes on top of that. I figured that out, looked at it, and it's something like $650 to $700 more per student. That's the good news. The bad news is we're now 49th or 50th in the amount of money we spend per student in the nation, and this may make us 48th or 49th. We're that low that amount of money only nudges us a little bit higher.
David Safir is with us, blog for Arizona. This is our monthly blogger beat. We've had David on before. He's always a good interview. If you'd like to join in the conversation, 790-2040, 790-2040. Is this a whittling away at public education as we know it, David Safir?
What we have going—
when I think of traditional public education, I think of public schools.
The short answer is yes. And there's a process that I've put together in my mind as demonize, then privatize, then monetize. First, you demonize schools. And that was happening when I was still teaching. I retired in around 2003, where suddenly schools were the bad guy. These things that everybody kind of loved, even though they knew they weren't as good as they could be. They were demonized, and now, courtesy of the Goldwater Institute and people like that, through tuition tax credits, through these empowerment accounts, the idea is to privatize. And if you're looking, parting the curtain, looking behind the curtain, you find that hedge funds are starting to get involved in this. You'll find that there are for-profit, publicly traded corporations that are making a great deal of money in virtual education, in online education. And so now it's beginning to go into the private sector, and then the money, basically our money, you know, the money from education funds, is going into the pockets of people who are creating these programs, which then are made into legislation in the various states across the country.
Let's talk a little bit about the upcoming special CD8 election in June. Jesse Kelly and Ron Barber going at it. There is, to be fair, a Green Party candidate who, by the way, David, we've had trouble reaching this particular individual. He is not readily available. If he is listening by chance, please give us a call or go on the BuckmasterShow.com website. We would love to talk to you, but he's a bit under the radar screen right now.
I do not have his phone number or know the man personally. So
anyway, Barber Kelly, how do you see the matchup?
This is one I'm very much in the Barber camp, and it fills me with trepidation, the idea that it might not turn out as it should. But I would like to think, and Mike Bryan wrote a wonderful piece on the blog a while back, I would like to think that Barber will win handily. And if I kind of pull it apart, Barber isn't going to lose people who voted for Giffords. Those people are going to stay there. Kelly could possibly lose people who voted for Kelly last time, because 2010 was the year of the extremists, the year of the extreme Republican, and Republicans just romped. He wasn't able to overcome Giffords' popularity. And some of those people now in 2012, I think maybe the blush is off the rose, so to speak.
And I don't like to call it sympathy vote, but let's put it this way. People who did vote for Jesse Kelly the first time around, perhaps there will be erosion there, because they will just be voting out of the fact that they like the fact, the way Gabrielle Giffords handled herself in the wake of the tragedy, and Ron Barber himself. That's got to be a factor.
I think it will. And the Kelly campaign is working very hard to say Barber, will be as bad as Giffords. So they're trying to paint them both with the same brush. Listen, we'll see what happens. I don't know.
And I don't think you're going to see many debates. You might see one televised debate, but I think that might be it.
I saw that KUAT is going to have a debate a day or two before the ballots drop.
Well,
so there will be at least one.
Yeah. Anyway, getting back to the legislature and education and it's a little bit of money, but you're saying, and we've had Ann Eve Peterson on this program before, hoping to extend that 1 cent sales tax. David, if it were to be put on the ballot, do you think the voters of Arizona would agree to extend the 1 cent sales tax?
I think it's a very good possibility. And the one reason it's a good possibility is people do support education. And the other reason is it's not a new tax, it's a renewed tax. And because it's renewed, it's no more money out of people's pockets. You're not asking them to pay a penny more. You're just saying you're going to keep paying that same penny on the dollar when you buy things that are taxable items. I think it's got a very, very good chance. And these people who are pushing it, Annie Peterson and others, very smart, very capable people. And they have the backing of lots of folks. That some of the money is going to go towards street and highway funds, so they have the backing of some of the companies that do that kind of work and all kinds of other people. They've built an excellent coalition. So I'm extremely hopeful.
Where can people find out more about Blog for Arizona?
Well, if you put in blog and then put in Arizona, it'll come up on Google. You can just go to www.blogforarizona.com. Either one of those will take you there.
Thank you so much, David Safir.
Thank you so much for having me.
Support for the Buckmaster Show comes in part from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. More at SplendidoTucson.com. And a big shout out to our new sponsor, this portion of the Buckmaster Show. If you like antiques, stop by Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. And the Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger & Associates, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. I am Bill Buckmaster. Thanks for being with us. We will be with you tomorrow. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, the voice, Good News Radio Network.